and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, James.
James!
Or Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Guys, are you excited to talk about comic books?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we have done nothing but talk about comic books for like 14 solid days. Yeah,
it's been crazy. I'm burned out.
Yeah. In case you guys don't know, New York Comic Con was this past weekend.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to do a little work there, do some fun interviews.
Yeah, well, you had your boyfriend you interviewed.
What do you mean?
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
muted,
pretty exciting.
Muted applause. And actually, Pete got to interview his boyfriend, Greg Pak. So, and you interviewed him, what, four
he
times?
Had the,
four
he had times. The daily check-in with Greg Pak.
3 days of the con.
We're not even joking.
He interviewed him four times.
It's, you know, every day something new happened and I had to check
when,
in.
On that day you interviewed him twice, was there any breaking news from before lunch?
Well, it was... it was like once with him and then Fred Van Lente, and then I was like, well, Fred, if we're going to talk, we might as well get Greg Pak in there.
And then you were like, well, Fred, while we're talking to Greg, why don't you leave?
Isn't it romantic?
Who'd you get to talk to? Who was your boyfriend? Last year you got to talk to Neil Gaiman, and I remember, like, hearts.
You can have your heart broken only once in this life.
Really?
Mine was. Oh. It was a dark stormy
night. Wow, you really lost it.
Oh, man. Guys, we have a lot to talk about on this show. Yep. We really have a
True.
Ridiculous amount, so let's get right into it. We're very excited about the guests we have here for you tonight. So let's bring them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Lee and Bob Joy! Yeah. Yeah. We're holding PowerPoint lessons after the show.
There'll be one person in attendance.
Can I just say it's great that you brought the sofas back? Because the last time I was here, we had those tiny chairs.
Those are the chairs the audience is sitting in right now.
You want to switch?
This is great. Really comfortable.
Well, I'm glad you guys like it. Thank you for coming. So, Tony, let's talk to you first. You had a pretty big... please. you had a pretty big announcement this weekend in general.
In general. This was the weekend that we were finally able to announce I'm doing the ongoing Doctor Who comic for IDW.
Woo!
Which is really weird because in the UK it doesn't come out because they're not allowed to bring it out in England.
Really?
Because of license issues with another publisher who actually does UK Doctor Who comics. So in the UK it's like, oh, I'm doing Doctor Who, and everyone's like, that's nice, yeah. But in America it's just, it's absolutely crazy. So I went to the IDW panel and it was like, I'm doing this ongoing, it's going to start in July. We got some one-shots beforehand. And the crowd were crazy. I felt sorry for Brian Lynch because there was more people sort of trying to jump on afterwards. And he was announcing he's done this sort of, he's doing the Spike ongoing. Mm-hmm. And like half the internet, he's like, Doctor Who, new series. Oh, and Spike. it's crazy. I can't believe how big it is over.
Never feel bad for the little people.
So tell us a little bit about the series. What can people look forward to with it?
Well, one thing you can not look forward to is any previous Doctors. Because apparently about 10 minutes after it was announced that we were doing the series, the BBC went, and they're not doing any previous Doctors ever again. Following The Forgotten, which was a story about all the previous Doctors.
So are you using the new Doctor then? The new Doctor that was just announced?
We are using David Tennant at the moment. Oh, you mean the new Doctor?
The new Doctor, the one that's basically...
We're using David Tennant. The book comes out, or the series starts coming out in July. And we wrote a 6,500-word pitch to basically...
more words than I've ever written in my time.
Because you have to convince the BBC that they really want to allow us to do this. And the pitch was literally how we saw the series going, why we felt things could be done, why we wanted to change a companion. We've actually created two new companions for this because of where we want to set it.
Tell us more about these companions.
Well, basically, the biggest problem with companions, and the biggest problem I had with The Forgotten, which was the six-part series I've recently done, was it started with Martha, and it's the Doctor and Martha are in this museum. And everybody went, well, there's going to be no worries with Martha, we know she survives. Because everybody saw the show, and they all know she leaves, and it's all, that's the way it works. When you saw the show, you didn't know. You know, basically, there was points you were thinking, oh, will they die, will they live? Comics that are a year later, you kind of know it's going to happen. So we said, well, look, you know, we want to give a bit more of this cliffhanger side to it, because we want to, instead of the first series that Gary Russell did, where each episode was 22 pages, we want to do two-parters with, like, cliffhangers. And we said, if we're going to have a cliffhanger, we want to actively have a possible life or death situation. So we actually set up these two characters. And we're going to have a girl and a boy character. So we're going to have a three... very much like this.
Good choice.
Very much like the Mickey Rose Doctor kind of thing of the first new season. And we've got an 18-issue arc that we've already worked out, wow, which starts in one particular story, then goes to another four-parter where the two companions that we're talking about aren't even mentioned because it all connects into this long, rambly thing. And then around issue 17, something happens that totally changes everything. The Doctor, it's being set between the specials, so we've sort of said, oh, the Doctor does something in 17, goes away, has the episode where he regenerates, and then comes back in 18 and as brand new Matt Smith Doctor, which would be about 7 months after he changes in the TV show to give artists enough time to learn how to draw him and to learn how to write him. Things like
they
that.
Can't get a picture of him beforehand.
Well, you can get a picture of him, but we don't know what he's going to be wearing or what he's going to look like and things like that.
I think it's going to be some sort of tweed jacket.
I've heard different.
Not tweed.
You're in person.
All I'm going to say is that Doctor Who parties in the future will be very interesting when people turn up in their togas.
Woo! What? Okay. I don't know.
That was two unrelated thoughts. Let's also talk about your graphic novel.
That we're making you do. Starting now.
Well,
Harker.
Yes.
Oh, right, sorry.
You know, the one that you told me to prop you about backstage.
I will point out, I've been here a week. I'm still on UK time. And I'm not really with it. And I was at lunch today with Ben McCool, who's rather known for drinking, so I do apologise.
Never apologise. Cheers.
I'm doing this graphic novel. We're announcing it properly at next week's Gallifrey, the Gallifrey 1 Doctor Who convention in LA, because I'm doing this massive panel on vampires and things like that. This year is the year of the vampire.
Yes.
Everybody's doing vampires. Del Toro's got a book out called The Stain coming out in June. There's about a dozen movies coming out. And there's also this official Dracula sequel. Because there's never been an official Stoker family agreed Dracula sequel. But the great-grandnephew of Bram Stoker, who's a guy called Dacre Stoker.
Is he a vampire?
We weren't too sure. We never saw him during the day, but he's a very nice guy, actually.
His name's Dacre?
Dacre, yes. D-A-C-R-E.
Wow.
Obviously, all Stokers have to have some kind of slightly...
fucked up name.
And basically, Dacre Stoker and a Dracula historian called Ian Holt are actually now doing the first ever Stoker family-approved sequel to Dracula. It's set like 25 years later. It's the son of Mina and John, and Dracula's back, and it's going to be massive. It comes out in October. And we, unbeknownst to this, for about a year, I've been talking with Marcosia about doing a really solid sequel to Dracula that's set 6 months later, and is all the characters from Dracula and the repercussions of what actually happens. And when we found out that obviously there was going to be an official sequel, we were like a little bit bummed, because obviously we were kind of hoping to be the sequel. whoops. But we actually contacted them and said, hey, you know, we're really interested in trying to sort of keep in with the line that you want to do, because we want to be in a situation where people can read our book directly after reading Dracula. And on Thursday, I actually, because they were in New York doing edits for the novel they're doing. So on Thursday, I actually got to sit and have dinner with Dacre and Ian. And did he order
a raw steak?
No, he didn't eat, actually. He did leave with the waitress and came back later on alone, but we just assumed that he was just like, yeah, chatting. But we actually...
He's a vampire.
Yeah, you can tell by that laugh. Oh, like,
he can come to all my panels. And a couple of people, Ken HT and Alex Gallant. And it was great because I sat and told them the story and they went through it. And they were quite excited about it. It's different in very many ways to their book as well. But it looks like we're probably going to get them to actually write an introduction to the book as well. So in a way, in a roundabout way, you get an endorsement from the Stoker family, which is really, really good.
Yeah,
and the Ian Holt, who's been involved in comics and things and knows Todd McFarlane and things like that, took Dacre Stoker to the Comic Con because he's never been to Comic Con. He doesn't really know what's going on.
Well, usually during the day.
More precisely. and basically, they came in and they were looking for me. And the only place that they knew I was definitely going to be at some point during the day was I was doing signings at the DoctorWhoStore.com booth. Because that was the only place that had copies of The Forgotten in New York. So an hour down doing signings, and when I wasn't signing, Colin Baker, who plays the Sixth Doctor, or played the Sixth Doctor in Doctor Who, turned up, who's an incredibly lovely person and one of the most underrated actors around. And he was doing his signings, and Dacre Stoker turned up and said hello, and they were like, oh, hello, would you like a signature? He's like, no, I'm looking for Tony Lee. So he's like, he's not here. I finally find him, I come over to show a copy of the book, because they hadn't seen it. And Colin Baker goes, oh, that man was looking for you earlier on. And I was like, oh, Colin Baker, I'd like you to meet Dacre Stoker, the great-grandnephew of Bram Stoker. And Colin Baker stands up and goes, I was Van Helsing, you know. and obviously, Dacre Stoker's a fan of Doctor Who and knew Colin Baker. And suddenly you had this kind of fanboy-esque moment where it was, could I have a photo, Tony? Would you take a photo of us? Oh, yes, could I have a photo as well? Oh, no, you go first. Oh, no, you go first. It was the most surreal thing I've seen ever.
Wow, that is weird.
But no, Harker's gonna be great.
I wouldn't know either of those people.
But Harker's it's drawn by Peter David Douglas and Neil Van Antwerpen, who some people will know from the recent Starship Troopers when they did with Marcosia. Their art is incredible, and in fact, they did the most amazing artwork, and then turned and said, "You know what? This is shit. We're going back and doing it better." And they actually came back with even better artwork. So this is, I'm even more excited about this. Yeah. But we've got this, it's like, we've got The Bride of Dracula, the one that didn't die, turned up. We've linked it into Dracula's Guest. We've taken stories about all the other characters that were never really used. Every single character that was alive or dead in Dracula is used in this. And it comes to a satisfactory conclusion that sets up to the actual epilogue that's used in Dracula.
Wow, very cool. When's that coming out?
That should be out in September from Marcosia. There'll be a massive me pimping everywhere.
Surely before.
Well, cool. Yeah. We're looking forward to that.
So hoping Anne Rice doesn't come out of retirement.
What?
I'm hoping Anne Rice doesn't come out of retirement.
She's found God, honey. She's not coming back.
Oh, thank God.
Bob, let's turn it over to you. You are trade editor at DC Comics.
That's me.
Yay. Now, as some of you may know, Valentine's Day is coming up. And so, surprise.
Oh man. I'm in trouble.
Good story about Pete.
Pete ran, he was just saying he didn't have enough money to buy comics this coming week.
We're really going
to
tell this story?
I meant to tell it at the top, but I forgot. And fortunately, he got a card from your grandmother?
My aunt said,
here's some money to take Lori out to dinner.
Lori being his wife.
And Pete said, finally, I have the money to buy the comics.
I was nervous because I was like, man, I don't have enough money to buy comics.
How many comics do you think your wedding ring's worth?
Like, 3 weeks worth.
Wow, that's great. I'm glad you already mapped that.
Yeah. Cool, Bob, back to you.
Just a little sad detour.
Sorry, Bob Joy.
So since Valentine's Day, you did a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation for us.
Lois Lane, she's like the hopeless romantic of the Silver Age. And I'm just going to talk about a couple of her stories.
Awesome. Great. So this is very cool. I'm going to move out of the way.
And the PowerPoint works.
Bring the lights down a little bit and head over to the PowerPoint.
All right. Yeah.
Oh,
I have that issue.
First we have Lois Lane number 5, fattest girl in Metropolis.
Oh, man.
Lois witnesses a murder, and then she can't remember the murderer's face, so she becomes worried that the murderer is going to kill her. So Superman secretly has her turned into a fat girl.
is this one of his superpowers that he used to have in the 50s?
No, it's actually not. You think Fred Kryptonite would have done it for him.
Yeah.
So Lois is really, really ashamed of her looks, and we've all been there, I guess. So she tries to hide from Superman, and eventually they catch the. Eventually, the thief recognizes her, even though she's got all that extra weight on.
You don't say.
She's hanging around with Superman.
She's wearing the same outfit, probably. But of course, Superman was stalking her. Even with the extra weight, he was always around, and he was able to save her. And then he admitted to her that he was the one that turned her fat, and she was eating some pancakes and couldn't wait to get thin again. But it ended where she was still fat.
Oh!
Wow.
Stories were different back then.
That's what they were good.
Okay,
next. Next we have number 9, Superman's Mystery Song, guest starring Pat Boone. Now you can see they look good in the 50s, but now, you know, those characters are a little aging.
I have that album.
That's Noel Neal, yeah.
I actually own that album. It's really good.
Is it good?
No, seriously, it is really, really
good.
No
more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, this one, Pat Boone overhears Lois Lane singing. So he asks if, he's like, well, you're really talented, you need to sing with me. So for some odd reason, they ask Clark Kent to write them a song about Superman. And he can't do it. So he literally dreams up a song, and he wakes up and he writes down the song that he dreamed. And then...
Paul McCartney.
Exactly.
Bullshit.
He's a super songwriting, though.
Yes.
Well, I like that even in the comics, Pat Boone can't write a song.
So where was I? All of a sudden when they start going out to perform the song, Superman keeps sabotaging them. Superman is a dick, actually. But they don't know why. So Superman confides to Pat Boone that, you know, look, I accidentally gave clues to my secret identity in that song. Turns out every first letter in the song spells out Clark Kent.
Man, how that song.
Why would you do this?
So, having a
tricky spot point.
Pat writes him a new song, and Lois sing it at the very end.
Is it Superman is Batman?
We'll get to that later, actually. All right, this is Lois Lane weds Astonishing Man.
What?
Yep, exactly. She married around a lot. that's what they called it back then. Lois Lane finds a saucer, a flying saucer, and of course she climbs inside.
Sure.
Classic Lane. Looking for someone to fuck.
Stories were like 8 pages long. Your stories in 8 pages. So the saucer takes off, and in space she meets Astonishing Man from the planet Roxxon. Wishes to marry her, and of course she says yes because she's Lois. He tells Lois that he has a secret that he must tell her, which
of course
should be a red flag.
Yeah.
But Lois agrees to marry him no matter what the secret is.
So she's known him for 4 pages.
What's that?
She's known him for about 4 pages.
Yeah, we're about 4 pages in.
But he has a spaceship,
and she's engaged.
Hole.
Secret small penis. It's small penis.
So the secret turns out that he's really an android controlled by a shriveled old man named Uga Munga.
You were right about the penis.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Uga Munga. Didn't see that coming.
So
I've actually used that as a bar.
I have a small penis.
No, I'm a shriveled old man. It works more than you'd expect.
So Lois agrees to go throughout the wedding anyway. Sure. However, unknown to Uga Munga, this android actually marries an android Lois Lane, controlled by an older woman.
Wow. Eight pages. Yes. Shit, man.
So,
Eight pages.
Eight pages. Oh, God. So then the old man and the old woman and their young androids fall in love, I guess.
With each other.
And their androids, yes.
Oh, hang on, the old man falls in love with the old woman.
Yes.
Not, it's not like some kind of
but
doggy swinging thing.
They have android sex because they can have sex through the androids.
Well, oh, so the old man and the woman aren't having sex with the androids.
Yes, the old woman is the Lois Lane android. The man is,
is there a way you can show us this here? I'll play the lady robot.
Be Lois. Right. Wow. So then Lois returns to Earth as Superman and the old man is happy and that's the story.
But she's still
fat,
right?
Yeah. Little in the thighs.
Wow.
All right. This is Lois Lane's battle with Lana Lang. This is the battle between Super Lois and Super Lana. Uh-huh. Lois Lane and Lana Lang are bathing together in a supernatural lake.
I saw this video.
I dreamed this video.
The lake gives them superpowers.
Sure. Yeah.
They try to impress Superman so that he will choose between them because, you know, now they're super powerful. They end up in a superpowered cat fight and then lose their powers.
Aww. Back to the lake.
Somehow the lake had been destroyed and they cannot get their powers back. And since they no longer have superpowers, Superman doesn't have to choose.
Oh. Right. The other name for that super lake? College.
Yeah, and I wish you could actually see the words on the page because he's actually telling Lana that she looks like a hussy when she put on all those jewels for him.
Look at the way he's standing too. He's like, ladies, get away.
Whoa, yeah, check out the way he's standing.
He's very judgmental.
They're going for his heart here. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, next we have.
Oh, God. Line it up.
The irresistible Lois Lane.
Wow. On the train.
Wow.
So Lois Lane is
that sloppy stuff.
So Lois Lane
Batman's like, what about me, guys?
Batman gets thirds after Aquaman.
Version of the Bachelorette or something like that.
Yeah. I think Batman's like, oh man, after that she's gonna smell like fish.
So Lois Lane is stalking Green Arrow, Aquaman, and Batman. She then makes up with each one of them in front of Lana Lang.
Wow. She is such a bitch.
Later, the heroes get together and take their lipstick-smeared hankies to the Arctic.
What?
So they save the hankies. She kissed them on their faces.
Oh my God.
They wiped it off with their hankies. Yes.
Oh.
And they saved the hankies and took them to the Arctic.
what happened to
there's
that?
Too many answers to that.
There they find Superman trapped by some aliens, and so they take out their hankies and they wipe Superman down with them.
What?
Smell Lois!
Now the reason for this is lipstick was used to conceal red kryptonite, which has the effect of making Superman immune to the effects of green kryptonite temporarily. This is the only time we've ever heard of that rule. It's never been done before, never been done since.
This is a thinly veiled, it's the sexual repression of the writer.
This is Superman's wiping power.
Exactly. Were there other ways to get the red kryptonite to Superman?
No.
Probably.
No.
No way.
Absolutely not. No way.
Absolutely. I have done this way.
One way.
Yeah, the previous one didn't work. Those lipstick-covered condoms, they just went through.
So then Superman is able to free himself and chase the aliens away.
And then beat up everyone for making out with Lois.
Yeah!
No, actually, he kisses Lois.
Ooh!
I wouldn't.
She's a volunteer nurse. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
So Perry White is off, is injured in an office accident. This is before the workman's
comp. Superman is like tiptoeing in. Don't mind me!
There she goes again.
This one went on for 43 friggin'. Oh my god.
This went on for 133 issues, actually.
Each one she had another man, if not two, in 8 pages.
When, actually, there were 3 stories per issue. So,
wow.
There was a lot of Lois Lane action.
And these are the ones they put on the cover.
Yeah.
And those days, comics come out every 5 minutes.
Yeah. He's in an iron lung. What the hell kind of office accident was that?
So
it's a big paper cut.
Lois goes to visit Perry in the hospital, and his roommate, Lieutenant Hunter, meets Lois, and they fall in love.
As you would.
Exactly.
If you're in an iron lung.
So Lois agrees to have Superman fly Lieutenant Hunt to Mexico for treatment.
Lieutenant Hunt.
Treatment in Mexico.
First name Mike.
Mexico are known for its advanced medical personnel.
After having Superman fly him to Mexico, Lois realized that she was duped again, and
Lois
that Lieutenant Hunt. Had stolen goods in his iron lung. So basically, Superman helped him smuggle the stolen goods.
What was
that? A crazy scheme.
So Superman was after.
It probably wasn't, I'm just saying. So I have to research that one.
Yeah.
So exactly. Superman was after what he was smuggling down there?
Yes.
All right.
So, of course, Lois tells Superman that Superman ties it up in one panel and it's
whatever.
So it begins the next video.
Okay. A monster.
Lois visits a laboratory where they unveil a new device to penetrate dimensional barriers.
Lois is all about the penetration.
Yes.
Always.
On the first test, a monster from an alien dimension comes to Earth. The monster named Herko possesses super strength and invulnerability. And of course, Herko is smitten with Lois. Lois leads the monster away from people until they can fix the device. Superman and Herko try to protect Lois from each other. You know, Herko thinks Superman's after her, Superman thinks Herko's after her. So they get into a fight over Lois, of course. The machine's fixed, and they send Herko back to his dimension. And Herko is heartbroken because he's separated from Lois, which is no one else. But then a few issues later, they found a female Herko.
Sure.
And so Lois played matchmaker and got Herko a...
After a public outcry.
She picked out Herko. To another
matchmaker. That's a very heartwarming story.
Herko.
So this is my all-time favorite story ever.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ever.
Wow, we've been slapped on.
Lois discovers plans with a device to save Krypton from destruction. This is like in the future, Krypton's already destroyed, but she finds this device that will save Krypton. So she uses a time machine. Don't know where she got it. She just happened to have access to it.
Women.
Exactly. To visit Krypton before it exploded. On Krypton, Lois locates Jor-El and helps him construct the device that will save Krypton. When the device is completed, it's stolen by Brainiac because it was constructed in Kandor. Now, Brainiac steals Kandor for the bottle city of Kandor. Lois should have known this.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Lois.
Having failed to prevent Krypton's doom, Lois plans to return to her own time. Oh, wait, I forgot. At the same time she's building the machine, she's fighting Lara for Jor-El's affections.
and one of my favorite scenes.
She's sleeping with Superman's dad.
He's kind of cute.
Yo, she's.
And then she is hugging Superman. Yeah. That
well,
is
well,
so
you
weird.
You see where she's getting bitch slapped? I mean, it's getting slapped over there?
Yeah.
Apparently, Lara and Jor-El had this thing where they would go to the park and meet in the dark and make out.
Awesome. Been
Lois
there.
Was living with Lara, so she got the phone message that Jor-El wanted to meet her in the park to make out. So she reaches. So she takes her place, and they start making out in the dark park. Lois and Jor-El.
Gross.
And then Lara gets the message, and then she comes and she smacks her. And as you see, you know, she's like the only way he could ever like your kiss is if he thought it was me. And you can't really see the text, but Jor-El's saying, "Well, you know, Lara. Now wait a minute. I think he was kind of planning a threesome there."
Yeah. Man, look at this. He's got his little finger on the
jaw.
Yeah. Like, I can figure this
fight,
out.
Fight, ladies, fight. So anyway, before she goes home, she, you know, after she decides, realizes she's never going to get Jor-El, she gets into her time bubble, and she wants to visit little baby Kal-El before she leaves. And being Superman would never let her kiss him as an adult, she starts kissing him as a baby.
Gross.
Is that is so
freaked him the hell out.
And kissing,
you know,
and kissing.
Scarred for life.
That's so kind
of cool.
So she makes
him
right.
Right.
Dad.
Right.
Molests him. Yeah.
This is a good story.
Classic movie story. Yeah.
So then, Jor-El is testing out his little Phantom Zone projector and accidentally sends Lois into the Phantom Zone. Where she has to wait years in the Phantom Zone before Superman finds her and brings her out of the Phantom Zone.
Oh, that's a continuity trick.
Wow. Yeah, it is, because, I mean, she would have to have been in there for years to come out after she
yeah.
went in.
That's really weird, man.
Yeah.
Is she all, like, battle damaged and traumatized and, like, mentally
scarred?
She
could be all now insane after years.
I don't know if you had anything about this, but it was just a little stab in
me
the corner.
Too.
Extra
too.
Superman and Batman's joke on Lois Lane.
Yeah.
they kept her in the Phantom Zone for 20 years.
No wonder she's funny.
I kind of forget what that was about, but
it
was mean and ridiculous. And, you know.
Oops, we sliced you in half.
So this one, Lois writes a series of articles on biker gangs, and she tries to join the Maniacs, which is a biker gang, which I guess would be kind of like Hell's Angels at the time. The gang leader Kaiser Bill lets Lois join as a biker chick.
Yep.
They require her to perform an initiation stunt.
Nice.
So after she's initiated in, Superman,
jumped in.
Yeah.
Superman gets involved by going undercover as cyclist Kim Crops.
He looks involved on that cover there.
He sure does. Actually, yeah, he's kind of in the crotch.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, man. Well, these guys fucked my girlfriend. What am I gonna do?
So Superman uses his powers to do stunt rides and take over the gang.
It's super Fonzie power.
Oh,
I want to see the next Metcom of Superman. I want his powers back.
So to further humiliate the biker, because that wasn't enough, he sets Lois up to defeat him in a race. So basically, he's like, okay, fine, race the girl. And the girl beats him because Superman helps him secretly, because now he's completely humiliated and he leaves the gang, and the gang kind of breaks up, and Lois writes her story.
Wow.
And Perry goes, but the gang's gone. It's irrelevant now, Lois.
Yeah.
This is last week's story.
All right. This is The Bride of Batman.
And Superman's the best man? That is.
Exactly.
That's
kind of
screwed up.
And it's still called Girlfriend.
Superman's girlfriend. Brian Batman.
Now, this is clearly an imaginary story. They tell you right up front it takes place.
Right. So hey, kids, don't worry. We're just fucking with you.
Imaginary story.
Superman.
In the comic.
Superman's away on his outer space mission with Wonder Woman.
Thank you, Jerry Springer.
So So Lois gets lonely and begins to date Bruce Wayne because the girl's got needs.
There's a worrying bump at the front of that wedding.
Baby bump.
That looks like a baby bump. What the hell?
There seems to be another baby bump closer towards her chest as well.
That's a bullet.
That's a pointed bra she's wearing, man.
I know about
it. Is the old guy marrying them Ungo Bongo?
Could be. I quite like the fact that Batman seems to like his child to swing around dressed like Batman.
one thing that they have here that's pretty creepy is Batman has a Lois Lane shrine in the Batcave that he never shares with Robin because he's secretly in love with Lois Lane as well. But being a Superman's girlfriend, he would never make a move.
Sure.
So as they're dating, they decide to marry.
As you would.
Superman secretly throws a hissy fit, but he decides to serve as the best man. As you see, he has a shrine to Lois Lane in his Fortress of Solitude,
but he
smashes it.
Oh.
Because, you know, she's doing Bruce now.
I love it. Dude.
Wow.
Right. So after the marriage ceremony, Bruce reveals his secret identity to Lois. The couple was happy and soon
I'd love it if he didn't. Well, 4 years later, seriously, Batman, can we just like change this?
It took him a while. So anyway, the couple is happy and soon have a son, Bruce Jr. And as you can see, Robin feels really left out. Sad.
That's because Robin has a shrine to Lois.
Robin has a shrine to Batman. Truly.
Something about your cake, please.
So Batman decides to start training his son to be Batman Jr.
And he can swing around in a cave in circles.
Yes. And he keeps Robin in the loop. And then Lois is just...
is that a metaphor?
In the loop.
The air and the spin.
Yeah, well, they did get rid of Robin.
So. The air and the spin.
So meanwhile, Lois is captured by an underworld gang who wanted to learn Batman's secret identity. They figured out that she's the bride of Batman, but they didn't figure out who Batman was. So she told them that Batman was Clark Kent. So the gang goes after Clark Kent, and they try to kill him, but of course he's invulnerable. They didn't know that. Lois didn't know that. But
precisely.
Right. They don't, but they...
She's such a bitch.
She's such a bad girl.
Oh, fuck him. He doesn't care anymore. I got Bruce. Yeah.
So they capture the crooks, and later Superman begins to explain to Batman that this is the reason he never married Lois. Because
she's a bitch.
He put her in danger, but yeah. So basically he was calling Batman irresponsible for putting Lois in danger and marrying her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lectured by Batman. This is the three super sirens. Three ex-lovers of Superman return and try to drive him mad. They turn out to be brilliant criminals. The only reason I really like this story is you see the blonde girl with the S on her chest?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is from an earlier story where she's Supergirl. His cousin. In an earlier story, Supergirl dressed up as this
woman. I'm sorry. You like this story because it's his cousin.
Cousin. Yeah.
Okay.
He's never seen my cousins. So one of Superman's great loves was Supergirl. That's kind of, I think, the important thing of this story. The rest of it really doesn't matter.
I've always liked Lori Lamaris, but I've always worried about the flipper love. It's just a bit worrying.
There was a lot of mermaids around back then, too. I think Wonder Woman was dating a merboy for a while.
That never went anywhere.
No, it didn't work out. Human fish love just never really works.
Well, what's going on?
What's that?
No.
I wonder if laid an egg.
Nice.
Yes, he's married to the devil.
The woman needs to be married.
I can see them in the writer's room being like, who could she marry now? Who's left?
Oh my God, she's worse than Elizabeth Taylor.
Really? And he's got hoops.
Right.
So shitty.
An alien from a different planet who possesses horns, a tail, and cloven hooves manages to successfully charm Lois Lane.
So he's not the devil.
No, he's just an alien. But she's not sure.
Like that.
He just happens to look like what we consider a devil.
Wait, she's not sure.
Somebody
she thinks
read
he's
Charles
the devil.
So yeah. She decides to marry him.
But she falls in love with him anyway because he charmed her.
Oh my god.
It's really difficult to charm Lois Lane. Not everyone can do it.
It's even more difficult to marry her, kiss her, or sleep with her.
With a tail.
Superman investigates the matter, and they have a big confrontation, and a gunshot accidentally kills Lois.
Oh!
Yes!
So, the guy's name is Satyev. Half Satan, half devil, I guess. He gives the seemingly deceased Lois a potion that causes her to take on his devilish appearance, and then whisks her away to his homeworld, where they wed. Superman, believing Lois dead, donates a memorial ring to her estate with a declaration of his affection engraved in it. And Lois, touched by the effort,
doesn't die.
Sad Ted and returns to Earth.
Aww. But she's still dead.
Donates a ring to her estate.
She's still dead. She's still a devil.
And she's still a mockery of, yeah, but. You
and
know.
She's still married.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she's
better. She never divorced that man.
Hang on, she's still an animal. Yeah.
She's not a player. She's a
Lois is a player.
Exactly.
She plays the players.
Now, this is the most famous Lois story.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Wow. Kill me now. Right? Seriously, kill me now.
Is that supposed to be that Curious is a placeholder for Black?
No, yeah. No. I am Curious Yellow and I am Curious Blue were Swedish art films in the
60s. Yes, art film.
Quotation
art
marks.
Yes.
Art.
Now it would be considered softcore porn. Back then they were art films.
Yes.
So I don't know why they went with this title. But anyway, Lois wants to write a story about how tough it is living in the ghetto.
Oh man!
No. All the priests in Metropolis won't marry her anymore. So
yeah.
She's going to change her appearance.
No, she's going to go back. But anyway,
like me.
That's
shocking. So she decides none of the black people will talk to her. And if you can see, there's a panel in the middle there where some guy's pointing at her and says, never forget, she's whitey.
Wow.
So she goes to Superman. And
one question. Did Superman build this machine?
He had it.
Interesting, Superman.
Okay.
Wow. I wonder what that was for.
Yeah. Very interesting.
You never go back. So, so then Lois becomes black, and then the first thing she does is she tries to hail a cab. Couldn't get one.
Wow.
That is so true. I'm
sorry. So then she has to get on the subway.
Disgusting.
That's the worst. But people are staring at her, so she comes running off the subway.
Is that because she's wearing a turban?
Is she the dashiki?
So she runs off the subway crying because people made her feel different by staring at her.
She made herself feel different.
No, Superman
made
herself fucked up in shape. No, no.
Okay.
So she kind of falls for the community leader, of course.
Of course.
Who
community organizer.
Community organizer, yes. Who
named Barry.
So she falls for him, and he gets shot, of course.
No.
And she gives him a blood transfusion.
Ooh.
And then she
turns him white.
She confronts Superman, as you can see from the panel there, saying, now that I'm black, will you marry me? You know, because, or will you not marry me?
That's the
because now if you don't marry me, you're racist, basically, she's telling me. What
did he say?
Well, he immediately turned. She turned white.
Before
he could answer, the thing wore off.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he's
like, Lois, it's not that you're black that I wasn't going to marry. It's because you know
you're a cheating whole bitch.
You're polygamous.
That's it.
Wow.
He said that he just is worried about her safety.
What year was it?
Late 1693.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I think it was the early 70s.
Oh, this was announced at the con. This is coming out.
As the next movie?
Yeah.
Grant Morrison's next thing.
All right.
That's the biker gang, right?
On honestly, I didn't read the story. I don't have any kind of synopsis for the story.
What can you say?
Her mini skirt is pulled up. They're throwing darts aimed at her vagina. Every dart is aimed there. That's it. That's
wow. Superman's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Seriously, she's spread eagled and darts are being thrown.
Exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, I
we're actually going to do that to one lucky item.
For a Lewis action figure.
Yeah. I wonder.
So yeah, it just doesn't matter what the story's about.
No, it sure does.
That's mommy issues.
And then that's about it. They have many more adventures in
spanking.
Spanking? Interesting.
And of course you can't read it, but she says something about her butt still hurts from what he did to her last night.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's really a good angle.
Wow. They got away with that with comic codes, huh?
Yeah, lovely. Because it was so innocent back then.
Yeah, that does look
so I believe you're on a little bit of a
Yeah, next slide, Bolt. Alright, we have what's called the four color challenge. I'm going to show you an image, and for a prize, you have to guess what the image is from, what comic book image is from.
So, I am curious, Robin.
For a Lois Lane action figure, does anyone know what this is from?
They're on a seesaw. The Superman the other
God, that hurts.
Wow.
Okay, who said that?
All right, nice.
That's as close as you're going to get. World's Finest Action Figure. Oh! Wow.
Boy.
You get the World's Finest Action Figure.
Wow. Nicely done.
I like mine better.
I think someone's been on a seesaw recently.
Yeah.
So for a set of Superman.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You might be putting the shirt on. You don't know.
Prince of Tides.
So then it's too late.
It says Superman Chronicles 1-6, the first earliest
adventure comic. Superman.
Anybody know the number?
69.
Just for that. Anybody? Anybody? No.
Wow. All right. 69.
Give it to 69.
457. I'm
going to
play
that. And the thing is, by swiping out the picture, it doesn't look any less gay.
What's the story about?
I don't know.
That's high enough.
Pearl.
She's a pearl. Look at that businessman.
All right, does anybody know where this is from?
Archie Comics.
This is for a set of Superman reprints. There's all kinds of Silver Age books in here.
Archie Comics.
Betty and Veronica, number 62.
Okay, anyone else want to come up with a different number, and I'll take the
249?
159.
You
said 240.
159.
All right, 240 wins, it's 271.
Wow. Emphasis on the pearl necklace.
Yeah, okay,
the
pearl
slide.
Necklace.
Oh my. I have to pick up 300.
And now I got to have a tunnel.
No wonder they have stars around
them. So this is for a Superman Kryptonite Nevermore hardcover. Anybody know this from?
Archie
35.
Who said Betty 150?
I did.
Okay. It's Betty and Me, number 16.
Wow.
Yay!
What
is that? There's one more slide. And for my next presentation, whenever I get around to it, I'm going to do Batman and Robin. What's up with that?
Charge of trades at DC.
Yeah.
The right man for the right job.
You're the keys of the kingdom, man.
Cool. Well, we are going to zoom through the rest of our show and move on to the first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
All right. First thing we're going to talk about is Secret Warriors number one. Guys, what'd you think about this?
This is a good read. I liked it. The art's great. I was a little annoyed because one of the characters looks like Maria Hill. It's confusing.
That's all the time we have for that one. To Atlas, number one. Look at that shit back there. I love this issue, actually. I thought it was really fun. I know both of us were not completely sold on it on the preview that they were printing.
Yeah, they took like the three worst panels from the comic and showed it every other.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even necessarily in the comic. It was a preview for the comic. And the comic itself is really fun. It actually reminds me in a nice way of Age of the Century, I think, because you got the story happening in current continuity, linking in to stuff that happened.
Great backups.
Great backups.
I like Age of the Century, but I didn't think this didn't really...
Didn't hit with you?
It's fun. It's old school fun. There's a dragon that needs a guy. That's all the time we have for that. Let's move on and talk about Bad Dog, number one. Pete, you want to talk about this?
This is really a lot of fun, this comic. Joe Kelly, I got to talk to about the Comic-Con, at the Comic-Con. He's having a lot of fun with this book, and it comes through in this. It's a story of a smaller gentleman and a guy who can turn into a werewolf, but he does never want to turn in back into a guy.
Okay, it's basically what if Dog the Bounty Hunter was a real dog. That's essentially what he has. And he hangs around with a midget. And
it's not a midget!
He's technically not a midget.
Thank you.
He's a preacher.
It's actually very
it's
a lot of fun. We're not really doing a good job.
If you want to talk about bang for your buck as well, there's a lot of story that goes in here, a lot of character notes. It's really fun. It's really enjoyable. Definitely pick it up.
Yep.
Let's move on. Talk about Black Panther number one. Yeah. What'd you guys think about this?
I didn't get a chance to read it.
Cool. Thanks, Tony.
That's all the time we have.
She's got some wampas up there.
Yeah. I don't know. Is anyone super excited about Black Panther becoming a woman? He's not becoming a woman. There's a replacement. I don't know. I've never been into this.
Why?
It's actually pretty well written, but I just don't. All right. I don't know. Pete, you liked it.
Thanks, yeah.
Cool, that's all the time we have. Let's move on to the mighty number one from DC.
It should be called the Mighty Perv, because he's spying on this couple the whole comic, pretty much.
Wow, you are reading way too much into that.
Far too much. I thought it was pretty good, a little light on story. Not a lot happens.
Yeah. It is old-timey fun, though. It's got an older look to it.
Peter Snageberg's art, which is fantastic. Yes.
Yeah. Essentially, it's sort of a Superman analog in a world where he is the only superhero. The guy who's his Jimmy Olsen ends up getting promoted to work with him at the end of this issue. There's a mystery they need to solve. I liked it. I liked the tone of it. It's a little unclear exactly where it's going.
It's a DC, right?
What?
It's a DC, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great buy.
Speaking of DC, last but not least, we're going to talk about Final Crisis Legion of Three Worlds, number three.
Did you just go to the bathroom?
Someone just
We got to talk to George Perez this weekend.
We did. We talked to both of the, we talked to Jeff Johns and George Perez.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's it for the stats!
Great.
It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're here.
Jonathan! Who lives in the booth?
All right, shut up, everyone. Who's your favorite doctor?
Third.
Great.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask a question. Pete's going to bring you a
surprise. You can give him a prize.
What's the best DC series that has never been collected?
Ooh.
If I knew that, I would collect it.
Well, is there anything that they just have not let you collect?
Yeah, I wanted to do Secret Society of Supervillains from the '70s.
Ooh, yeah.
But there's some rights issues, so I'm just not able to get it out yet. But soon.
Cool. I'd love to see the Len Wein reveals.
Those would be good.
Yes.
Probably as a showcase.
Yeah,
that's the only way they'd love us to do it. But
Great.
I don't know.
Yeah. Who has that?
I did.
All right.
Next question.
Will DC do an Absolute Preacher special edition? Wow. I know we're doing something with Preacher right now. I don't know how much of it I can talk about. I know it's not absolute sized. It's bigger.
That's a good answer.
Ooh. I like it.
I use your
door size.
Do we have one more question?
What's your favorite DC or other publisher's trade paperback?
Huh.
Oh. God, I have to think about that. I'd have to say, Super Sons. Superman, Batman, Super Sons. It was in that bundle that I gave to somebody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I hope those weren't your copies.
I know. I've got five more in my office. It's okay.
Anybody else? Favorite trade paperback?
I'm really liking the Absolute Sandmans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Starman ones are great.
I am really enjoying the Omnibus Absolute archives that both publishers are doing. I think it's really good because it's really treating the material very well.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Great. And that's it for your audience questions! All right, it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah! Wow. We got a lot to talk about.
Sure do. Let's get through this. First thing we're going to talk about is Last Night Heroes.
Oh, nice.
Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah.
What?
I know nothing.
I had no idea, you guys. Last week we were kind of surprised because I hate heroes, personally. I was kind of surprised.
Even when we were talking to Milo Ventimiglia.
Yes, we were talking to Milo Ventimiglia, who is actually not a tool.
No, nice. And I'll tell you, this guy smells great. Like, for a dude. Back to you, Alex.
I wanted to call it last issue. Last episode was actually totally not bad, which was really surprising, considering this is the worst show ever made. And this episode, last night, the first 10 minutes were actually not bad, and then it went back to being totally retarded.
Yep.
Which actually made me feel really surprisingly comfortable, because I was very disturbed. I was very disturbed by the fact that it was any good last week.
Parkman as a character, I hate him so much. Now,
I liked him in the beginning, but it's just gotten bad.
He, like, his eyes go white, and he's like, here's some more pictures and stuff. Then he's running around.
He's running around like a demented troll in a trailer.
I hate how they draw it, and then they're like, we gotta go here and not stop this from happening, but just make sure we're standing in the right spot.
My favorite thing from last night is, so for those of you who aren't watching, the heroes are all fugitives. They're running around, escaping from these government agency, like usual. I don't know how that's
They have big
different.
Guns.
The guys have big guns, and they've captured them. The guy who captured them goes up to Nathan Petrelli at a certain point. He's like, what, did you think they were going to greet us as liberators? Which makes zero sense to this context whatsoever. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
Yep, bad all around. I don't know.
Keep watching. All right. Very quickly is New York Comic Con. We've already mentioned that a little bit.
Yeah. A lot of you out there go for the con.
No.
All right.
Fun. Did you get to go to the con?
I went. I went before, like, everybody got there. You know, when the dealers were allowed to be in there, and then as soon as it opened up to the general public and it got really, really crowded, I turned into a big baby and I left. And I never went back.
Nice. Cool.
It was just crowded, but it was good. I mean, I didn't get to go to any of the panels because I'm such a wimp. But I enjoyed the shopping.
That's good.
Yeah.
Tony, how was the con for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was very busy. It was insane on the late days. I still don't. I know there's a kids' day and stuff. I still don't see the logic in taking your babies in strollers on the days because. They weren't taking them as, like, hey, look, little kiddies. They were taking them as fucking snowplows.
Yeah.
This park's
and they were banging them into people to get them out of the way, and that's just wrong.
Oh, that's great.
And that's why I like San Diego, because San Diego says no bowling carts or anything like that.
Right.
So you have to carry the fuckers, and if you
don't. I see a loving car.
You know, and if you're going to be carrying your kid, you're not going to be trying to push your way through. You'd be like, oh, okay.
You just soak a stuggy and throw them all.
Some of my favorite things were talking to the Venture Brothers guys. They are insane dudes.
Crazy.
They told us that the pilot for the upcoming season it'll be live action. It'll feature 23-year-old actors playing babies that they will be puppeting from off camera. So that's not actually true, but they're insane enough to
Yeah, they said it was completely a straight face, which was very nice.
Other exciting news, Powers is in development at FX to be a live-action TV series.
Whoa.
Which is exciting. Jeff Johns is in town for the next month and a half, so he's going to be on the show.
Woo!
Yes! Which is exciting. He'll do it. All right. what else?
Pete totally rocked.
Oh, yeah, you. Joe!
Yeah. Oh, I talked to Greg Pak.
No! Pete gave the best interview of the whole con to DMC from Run DMC.
It's
so good.
It's awesome because Pete was excited, DMC was excited, they got each other excited. It's hilarious and it's great.
What I was amazed at is he sold his comics to buy turntables so they could start Run DMC. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
it's a great interview. It's actually up on Newsarama, who we were working for this weekend, and check it out. It's up there now. Pete did a great job.
Yes.
Coraline.
I saw Coraline in 3D. Great movie. Definitely worth seeing. If you live in Brooklyn, they're showing it at the Park Slope movie theater.
And Pavilion.
Which
Pavilion.
Is the
Pavilion.
Whatever. Yeah. Apparently it's a bad story.
They're trying to help you. Don't want to.
I know what they're saying. It takes a minute to process.
Apparently, so I hate this guy.
Apparently the theater's shitty, but the movie's great.
Yeah.
So go see it.
Cool. And last but not least, because Pete demanded it, even though it came out several weeks ago, we're going to watch the G.I. Joe trailer.
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The world will never forget. Make the call. We don't exist. We are in the middle of town. And with all our fails, we don't.
What would you say your unit was called?
I didn't. That's great.
Yeah!
I will say, I wasn't allowed to watch G.I. Joe as a kid because he had guns, but that looks like the special effects are the best in a while, I've seen in a while.
I can't wait, man. Really
my favorite thing is the scene with Dennis Quaid when they're like, what did you say your unit's called? And he's like, I did it. And I think the rest of that scene is like, so what's it called? And that's it for the week in Geek!
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. This is an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Yes, first hand up. Come on down. Alright. What's your name?
Ted.
Ted, audience, Ted.
Hey.
All right, Ted, how's this going to work? I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Here all we
right.
go. Today's trivia is going to be at Doctor Who. Okay. What is Doctor Who's space/time vehicle known as? Is it A, TARDIS, B, STARDIS, or C, a time machine? So it's either A, TARDIS, or C, STARDIS.
A?
Oh no, B. A is correct. Alright, here we go. Sorry, I'm more flustered than you are. Here we go. Fun fact. Doctor Who is the A, longest running comic series, B, longest running sci-fi series, or C, candy corn. Delicious. It's yeah. Okay.
I've never actually seen it and I knew that one.
All right. In Doctor Who the Forgotten, Tommy Lee channels oops.
You play drums? That's sick.
Pamela Anderson.
Yes, thank you. Don't ruin the C joke. Tony Lee channels the personality of
Tommy Lee.
A, David Bennett, B, David Tennant, or C, David Mamet.
A,
theater joke.
B is correct. Gift card yours.
Thank you. Yay.
to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Scout.
Woo! Oh, cool. So, Batman number 686, the first part of Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader. We got to read an advance of it. It's awesome. It's like what Grant Morrison's Final Crisis is supposed to be. It's great.
That was going to be my choice as well, so I'm just going to back that up. Yeah. Everything, if you've been feeling poorly about Batman for the past couple of months, this issue is incredible. Do not miss it. I think it's the beginning, first half, of a classic Batman story.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes to all that. I was also DMZ.
Yeah.
What's going to call the Nightwing?
Cool. And plug something you have coming up.
The next thing I've got coming out will be the Doctor Who one-shot. It comes out in May. So it's a bit of a wait, but that's the Time Machination. And it's a 22-page story that involves a Doctor in Victorian London, Torchwood, and a whole lot of other things.
Cool.
Cool.
Very cool.
Okay, well, tomorrow All Star Superman Volume 2 hardcover comes out. I worked very hard on it. So buy it. I'm looking forward to the Comedian 1/6 Seattle action figure, as well as the JLI Black Canary action figure.
Before Doctor Who, I just saw Jordan there. Before in April, I've got a story in Spider-Man Family that comes out, which is a Spider-Man and Screwball. Adventure. Screwball. I was in Dan Slott's Screwball character.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a really good one called Treasure Hunted. And I saw the art when I was in the Marvel offices last week, and it's absolutely awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Sweet. Cool.
Well, definitely look for that. A couple of little things before we go. Next week, we are going to have Fabian Nasueza on the show. So and you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Tommy Lee for being on the show.
Yeah, right? That was crazy.